He sat there on that sofa, a broken man, at the end of his rope. Although he had tried to honor the Lord and serve the Lord throughout his life, he had not expected the pain that would come when his wife became involved with another man. Then came divorce, and then, probably the worst of all, the continuing emotional exhaustion of spending days and days and days in court, battling for custody of the children. Throughout the process, he had tried to trust and obey the Lord. He loved the Lord deeply. He had tried to avoid confrontation, settle things peaceably, work everything out, but to no avail. How many times he had asked the Lord why? Why, Lord, had all this happened? But more importantly, he asked the Lord, would it ever end? Would I ever have peace in my life again? He sat there that night in the living room of a friend's house. Both were Christians. Both were close friends. When finally, in desperation, he blurted out, I'm done. I'm done with the Lord. There was silence. He didn't really mean it. But you know, in one of those moments when you just feel like you've had it, you can't go any further, emotionally, physically, and spiritually exhausted. His theology, his mind knew what the Word of God said, but his heart was just so mixed up. After that silence for a short time, his friend got up and quietly walked over to the calendar and marked a large X on today's date. And the man looked at him and said, what'd you do that for? And he said this, I did it so that when the Lord works in your life and you turn to Him again, you will remember this date and what a foolish statement you just made. And with that, he snapped out of it. And he realized he had made a very foolish statement. And he turned to the Lord and kept on trusting Him and kept on trusting Him. Oh, the days and the weeks that followed didn't bring instant solutions. It wasn't like everything suddenly fell into place just because he was now trusting the Lord. He had been before. It's just that the Lord wanted to work through these things, to strengthen his life, to humble him in ways that he had never been humbled before, to teach him endurance and trust, to give him strength to rebuild his life. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever come to a point in your life where you said to yourself, man, I am really, really discouraged. I thought the Lord was there to restore our lives and to give us rest and to strengthen us, but it seems all he wants out of me is endurance. I am really struggling with trusting the Lord. And we all get in those things, those situations. And we have to be sure of one thing. We have to be sure that the Lord deeply cares about us. There was a man in the Old Testament who knew that. He had nothing but trials and tribulations. He had come to the end of his rope. He spent a part of his life hiding, running for his life, narrow escapes. His own son rejected him, rebelled against him, and even sought his life. And yet in the midst of all of that suffering, David knew one thing. David knew that the Lord was his shepherd. And he talks about this in Psalm 23, if you'd like to look at that with me this morning. David said, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When David is searching around under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to relate to us what it's like to have the Lord care for us and be concerned for us and love us, he searches for an analogy that he was so familiar with, the shepherd. He was a shepherd. He took care of sheep. He knew what it was like. And under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, as God wants us to understand how He cares for us, David thinks back to the days when he was a shepherd. The psalm is divided into two parts. There's actual shift in verse 5. It talks about the shepherd's care for his sheep, the regular, everyday concern that a shepherd has for those who are his. And then in verse 5, he shifts over to a shepherd's care for his guests. He wants us to know that we are more than sheep. We are also guests in the house of God. And so he talks about the guests that come that a shepherd would often have to take care of, as many people would with hospitality in Israel. And he says as they come in, he treats us like honored guests as well. But it all begins in verse 1 when it says, when David says, The Lord is my shepherd. The very first word, the key word there is the Lord. Yahweh, Jehovah. Yahweh is the Hebrew pronunciation, Jehovah the anglicized. Same Greek Hebrew word, the Lord. You know what? It all begins and ends with Him, doesn't it? If we could just remember that. One of the key phrases that God uses about Himself is that He is Yahweh, the shepherd of Israel. I am your shepherd, God said in the Old Testament. My goal was not to just call the Israelites into a nation and then make them be slaves of me. Hard work, hard labor, hard life. That wasn't God's intention. God's intention was to gather His people together and pull them out of Egypt, to draw them together and show them a life that was blessed and glorious and exciting and loving, even in the midst of trials and tribulations that life would bring them, because He was their shepherd. Then Jesus came. And Jesus made another startling claim, as many claims He said. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. When Jesus said that, He took Yahweh's name. It should be surprising, He was Yahweh. He was Jehovah. He said, I am the good shepherd. He always looked at Israel and the people around Him and the Gentiles, and He always knew these people were like sheep without a shepherd, wandering, lost. When Jesus got angry, it was never with the common Israelite. It was always with the teachers, the ones who knew better. But when He saw the people on the fields and He saw them, He said, hey, look, these people are like sheep without a shepherd. They desperately need Me. And when He was calling people into His kingdom, it was the same way. These are sheep without a shepherd, and I want to shepherd them. I want them to be My sheep. Look at John chapter 10, verse 25. In fact, Jesus is the shepherd. And when we read the psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, my friends, we are talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are the sheep. We need to remember that. In John chapter 10, Jesus said in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. And then in verse 25, Jesus answered. They said, tell us, are you the Christ? And He said, I did tell you. I've been telling you, and you won't believe. You will not believe. The miracles I do in My Father's name speak for Me. They tell who I am, but you do not believe, verse 26, because you are not My sheep. You can always tell Jesus is sheep. My sheep listen to My voice. I know them, and they follow Me. Sheep are not the brightest creatures in the world, as we shall see, but the one thing they know the voice of their shepherd. They know the voice of their shepherd. And when Jesus speaks, true believers listen. We may not always like what we hear. We may struggle with what we hear, but we listen. That is the pattern of our life. And Jesus says these incredible words, I know them. Sometimes it seems the Lord has forgotten about us. He knows her, and He knows him, and He seems to be blessing her, and He seems to be blessing him. But what about me? Here I am. I've got all these problems. Does the Lord know me too? He does. The Lord knows every one of His sheep, every single one of them by name. He knows every one of us. And He says, and they follow Me. That is the pattern of their life. And He says, and He does this with joy in verse 28, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of My hands. In other words, I know the sheep are okay because they're right in My hand. You believe you're in the Lord's hand today if you know Christ? Do you? Sometimes it may not seem like that. That's why we can never depend on our experience. We depend on the Lord, on the Word. Then in Psalm 23, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you can be assured the Lord is your shepherd. And I love what David says. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. Every single one of us can say that. The most precious word in that sentence is my. Because God could be the greatest, most incredible, most fantastic God in all the universe, but if He doesn't care about me, in my life it's all for naught. It's just God is some stranger who's running the universe that is just another being I have to deal with. But if He's my shepherd, if He's your shepherd, that's something incredible in our lives. And you know, David always believed that, always. He never turned away from that knowledge that the Lord was his shepherd. He relied on that fact. He says, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Do you know that all of those are really saying the same basic thing? They are. It's saying, number one, that the shepherd takes care of the sheep's needs. And secondly, it tells us the two kinds of needs all sheep have and all human beings have. Nourishment and rest and restoration. If you were to take all of our needs and you were to put them in a nutshell, what we need is nourishment, both physical and spiritual. And we need rest and restoration from a troubled life in a troubled world. And so he begins in verse 1 and he gives a general statement. He says, I shall not be in want. Those are strong words. I shall not be in any lack of need. That's exactly what it says. And it's true. Absolutely. The Lord promises that he will meet our every need. But one thing we have to realize is at the very beginning, if the Lord is going to meet our need, we need to accept his provision and we need to realize who we are. Before we even distinguish between what's a need and a want, which is an important distinction, we have to understand why we're so desperate for the shepherd to meet our needs. Because sheep, by nature, are weak. And you know, when David says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want, what he's doing is he's saying this, I've got my position right, I figured it out. I am utterly and absolutely dependent upon the Lord. You know why we pray? Not out of obligation, out of dependence. We are so dependent upon the Lord, it's a joy for us to know that if we ask, God will work. God will seek our best. But we need to realize that if we are truly to know who God is, we have to understand who we are. Pastor Ray Stedman tells of his experience with sheep in this regard in the book, The Perfect Shepherd by John Davis. This is what he says. It occurs to me that if Jehovah is to be our shepherd, then we have to begin by recognizing that we are sheep. I don't like that analogy, frankly, because I don't like sheep. I come by my dislike honestly. I used to raise sheep. In high school, I was in the 4-H club, and I had a herd of sheep and goats. Goats I can abide because they may be obnoxious, but at least they're smart. Sheep are, beyond question, the most stupid animals on the face of the earth. They are dumb, and they are dirty, and they are timid, and they are defenseless, and they are helpless. Mine were always getting lost, hurt, and snake-bitten. They literally do not know enough to come in out of the rain. I look back on my shepherding days with a great deal of disgust. Sheep are miserable creatures. If you're like me, I work hard at trying to be strong. I'm always trying to get all my ducks lined up in a row, smooth out my life, make everything fit in a nice, comfortable thing. I don't know if you're like me, but I am like that. I work so hard to smooth out my life and to get everything lined up and to get everything peaceful and to get everything good. And no matter how hard I work and no matter how much I put out, it never gets that way. But you know what? That's life. The reality of life in a fallen world with a fallen bodies is it's goofed up. And we are in desperate need of a Savior. Because we are like the sheep. We're always wandering off. We do things we regret. We say things to people we love and then later go, why did I say that? Why did I do that? We do stupid things, dumb things. And we need God to rescue us time and time and time again. The amazing thing is that he does. Because that's what a shepherd does. And I think the first thing we need to realize is the fact that no matter how much we try at a desperate pace to meet all of our needs, the truth is, we simply can't. We don't have the power and the control in a fallen world, in fallen bodies, with fallen people to have that much control. We need a shepherd to do that. The exciting thing about that is this. The shepherd takes that responsibility. It says, he makes me lie down in green pastures and he leads me beside quiet waters. The shepherd says, if you'll let me do it, I'll do it. Oh, you got to do some things too. But don't do it as the master controller of your life. Let me be the master and you be the servant and then you do some of the work and you trust me and I'll do the rest. But don't take that burden on your life. You don't need to have the burden of meeting all your needs on your life. Jesus said that. You know that? Look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore I tell you, Jesus said, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Do not worry. How could Jesus say that? We have so much to worry about. Because you see, He's in charge. He can say it because He knows what He's doing. He's telling His sheep, don't worry about it. I'm the shepherd. You're the sheep. You don't need to worry about it. I'll do it. You just need to follow Me. You follow Me, I'll take care of the rest. And He says, is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them, and God does. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Worrying does absolutely nothing. And the shepherd says, you don't have to worry. The Gentiles worry. Oh, they're so worried. Their whole lives are focusing on their needs. And he says, you don't have to do that. He says, in fact, in verse 32, he says, for the pagans run after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. He knows it. And whenever it says God knows or God is with you, he always means God doesn't know and go, well, I know you need needs. Boy, I hope you can meet them. I know you have needs. It is an intellectual knowledge. It is heart knowledge. It is someone who knows. It is like a father who tells his kids, hey, I know you have needs. I'll meet them if you just let me. But seek first, verse 33 says, this is why we can do that. Jesus says, the Father will take care of your needs, so you can go ahead and seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. You don't have to worry about them, you'll get them. And he says here, we can seek first his kingdom. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. You know what? We spend most of our worry not about today, it's about tomorrow. Man, I worry about tomorrow. Do you? I'm always worrying about tomorrow. The Lord's always saying, no, I didn't tell you to worry about tomorrow. I mean, if the Lord said, I'll take care of tomorrow, worry about tomorrow, fine. But he says, don't worry about tomorrow. And the reason is because God does not give us the grace to meet tomorrow's needs. He gives us the grace for today. And you say, how come I don't have the grace to meet tomorrow's needs? You don't have it yet. When you get there, you'll have it. I don't think I could face that if God puts that in my life. Don't worry about it. When you get there, you'll get it. But you won't get it before you get there. The Lord isn't the business of meeting future needs. He's meeting now. Now. He wants you to live in the present. Someone said one time, Satan wants us to live in the past or the future. It's so true. God wants us to live in the present. Then in Psalm 23, he says, I am not going to be in any want. And the reason is this. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. Sheep need two things. They need food. They need green pastures. And it's rich green pastures. They need water to drink. And they need rest and restoration. Those two things go together, as we shall see. That's really all they need. You see, a sheep's life is pretty simple. Green pastures and quiet waters. And notice, it's this parallel poetry in the Hebrew. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He takes the sheep and they can lie down after they have eaten of the green pastures. And then he leads me beside quiet waters. The literal Hebrew is not waters that are quiet. That is, you know, that soft kind of quiet waters. But rather waters of rest. That is, waters where I can rest. It's a parallel. Green pastures where I can eat my fill and be satisfied and sit and rest. And then waters where I can drink my fill and then lay down and rest. Wow, wouldn't that be great? Now, what are the green pastures and the quiet waters? Well, I think there's two things in this analogy. One is that the Lord meets, we saw in Matthew 6, He meets our physical needs. He meets our physical needs. And the second thing, and I think in the greater way, He meets our spiritual needs because He knows those are the greatest. My brother was with his church, and he was having a Bible study at this guy's house. And his house was just like a mansion. It was in this really nice area. I mean, it was just gorgeous. I mean, it's huge. And everybody would go, oh, wow, why doesn't the Lord provide that house for me? And so he was outside, and this man came in who he knew, the man that lived in the house. He came running out, and he was talking to my brother for advice. And he just was so distraught over his son who wasn't living a godly life. Now, what would you rather have? Half the income and a godly son, or the whole thing and a son that you have to be distraught over every day? I know what I'd choose. Money doesn't bring happiness. But what it says is that the Lord will meet our needs with green pastures. What are green pastures spiritually? Nourishment. And the spiritual nourishment he's talking about is the Word of God. We all need nourishment in order to grow. We've got to read the Word. Long for the pure milk of the Word, 1 Peter 2:2 says, that you may grow in respect to salvation. Long for it as a baby longs for milk. Do you do that? Read the Word. Study the Word. Don't do it as God, as some academic exercise. Do it as the very life words. Jesus is our shepherd and we are sheep. These are life-giving words that help us grow. You need to grow in Christ. The more you grow, the easier it is to follow the Savior. The easier it is to turn away from your own independent will. The easier it is to trust the Lord. I want you to notice, too, that He leads us. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and He leads me beside quiet waters. And what that tells us is the Lord is the initiator. God is not a responder. You are. God is the initiator. He is the one that initiates. We have this idea that Satan wants us to believe that God is way up there, far away, uninterested until we come and talk to Him. God is not like that. He is a shepherd. He is in your face all the time. A shepherd is watching his sheep all the time because he knows if he does not watch us all the time, we're headed for disaster. We will wander off. We will get mixed up. We will allow the wrong influence into our life. He is the initiator. We are the responders. God is always there, always working, never gone, never on vacation, never asleep, always there, always concerned, always loving. It doesn't matter if you're in the hospital. It doesn't matter if you're driving your car. It doesn't matter if you're in your house, because He's our shepherd. He will give us the rich nutrients of the Word of God spiritually that might grow and become strong. He also, notice verse 3, restores my soul. The lying down and being leading toward quiet waters is rest. He gives us rest, and then He says He restores my soul, which means to reinvigorate us spiritually. That is, God gives us rest and then reinvigorates us. That's what happens in the physical realm. You work out or you're tired or whatever, and then you get rest. God does that for us spiritually. He gives us rest and restoration. But we need to know how He does that. He restores my soul. The soul is the inner man, our mental, spiritual, emotional makeup. What makes us human beings? God knows we're weak. He knows we need restoration. Folks, we need a continual restoration process, because what happens is life is like trials of waves. They come and they go and they come and they go. And every time they come, we need to be restored from them. Right? We do. So God is there and He says, I'm going to restore you. I'm going to give you rest. How does He do it? He does it first through His Word. Look at Romans chapter 15, verse 4. What is rest spiritually? Spiritual rest is peace of heart. That's what it is. It is peace from anxiety, peace from worry, peace from concern for things that are out of our control. True rest is peace, emotional peace, that comes from spiritual peace. That's what it is. And you know where peace comes from? Hope. Romans 15:4. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance, whenever you see the word endurance, you know there's going to be trials, and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. You know what spiritual reinvigoration or restoration is? It is when we are spiritually courageous again. It has the idea of being discouraged, which is disencouraged, having a lack of courage, and then being rested and restored means we are now spiritually invigorated to take on the world again in the name of Christ. You know how you get that? H-O-P-E, hope. And you know what hope is? Faith in God working in the future. That's what hope is. And you know what? We need hope desperately. Because hope brings us peace. Because hope means the shepherd's got it all under control. It's okay. Notice what he says in Psalm 23, verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The valley of the shadow of death is just like it sounds, where I am in danger of death. I fear no evil. Why? Because there's no danger. It doesn't say that there. For you. Notice how he turns back to the Lord. He moves and he says, I walk, I fear, and then he says, you are with me. With your rod and your staff, you comfort me. And he goes back to, and he talks about the rod and the staff. The rod was a shorter stick. They beat wolves and beat coyotes, and they protected the sheep, because a true shepherd will protect the sheep. The sheep couldn't sit around going, what am I going to do? There's a wolf coming. There's a coyote coming. I mean, that's what sheep could do. That's what we do when we think about disasters coming. What the Lord says is focus on the shepherd. You say, why is it that I have such trouble having rest and restoration from the Word in my life? Two reasons. Number one is you're not focusing on the Lord. If you just read the Word and then go back and focus on circumstances, you're going to be focusing on the coyotes. Well, if you're looking at the coyotes and wolves, guess what you're going to worry? You're going to be a basket case. You got to look at the shepherd. He's got the rod and the staff. The staff was a much longer one. He's got a little hook. And he would use it to gently lead the sheep. He wouldn't pound on their heads. He would come alongside and he'd put his staff on the side and then move them back on the right path. You know, the shepherd would also use that to pull them up to safety. When they got trapped in a hole they weren't supposed to be in, the shepherd would pull them out and protect them. You see, God does the same with us. There is no hole too deep. There is no trouble too great that you can get yourself into if you are not willing to confess it to the Lord and turn to Him. He will not deal with and help you out of. Nothing. He will take His staff, which is the symbol of His power, and put His arm around you, and He'll pull you out gently. All He wants from us is confession. All He wants from us is to turn to Him. And He will protect us and guide us. Do you believe that? Yes, the Lord does allow trials in our lives. That's part of living in the kind of world. God does not guarantee that we'll never get some dreaded disease. But what God does guarantee is two things. Number one is, I will give you the strength through it. And two, I've got a life that is so much better than this life. In the end, you're going to get so much glory and so much blessing. Don't worry about gold. Now, I'm going to give you so much gold, you're not going to know what to do with it. I'm going to line the streets with transparent gold. And then lastly, he says, he guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And what that means is this. If God loves us, He's going to guide us into righteousness. You know why? Because He knows that righteousness keeps us out of trouble. If you live a righteous life, expect to be blessed. God doesn't set up a bunch of do's and don'ts so we can be miserable. What can I do for my sheep to make them miserable? Instead, He says, I'm going to give them rich pastures, quiet waters, lots and lots of blessing if they'll be righteous and follow me. And then if they won't, I'll discipline them and get them to follow me because I love them. That is what a shepherd does. You can be guaranteed that no matter what situation you're in, if you're this morning in the valley of the shadow of death or someone you love is, if you have a hole that is so deep you don't think you can ever get out of it, turn to the shepherd and let him work. Don't have somebody put an X on your calendar and say what a foolish statement you made, because the Lord will work in your life.